Everyone, nice to see you. There's lots of people here for Thanksgiving weekend, and it's really nice to see you. Lockharts and people dearly beloved, part of our church family, look back for the weekend and many others. And then there's lots of new people who I think you're probably not just here for Thanksgiving weekend. You're here just visiting us today and seeing what we're all about, and it's really nice to have you. Last Sunday evening was our AGM, our annual general meeting as a church. And it was a really important one. We looked back at last year's budget and how we spent money and projected for this year. But the most important thing, or long-lasting thing possibly that happened, was that we voted as a church to change our name. Some of the things that were said that evening is that it was not meant as a purely cosmetic change. It's not the equivalent to changing your hairstyle. But it's probably more closer to the fact that in the Bible there are significant name changes that take place. Abraham, his name was changed. Sarah, her name was changed. Peter, his name was changed. Jacob, his name was changed. And so it's not unfamiliar in the Bible. And it hasn't been unfamiliar in our past. And so we felt that our church has changed so fundamentally over the last number of years that in some ways saying we are a new body, a new entity, deserving of a new name, that it stood to reason. And so we voted to change our name from River of Life Community Church it'll be shortened to Via Church Lethbridge or Via Apostolica Lethbridge. And we'll have more on that to come. Just wanted you to know that as an honor to our past, I sent out messages to numbers of people, just letting them know what had happened. Expressing our deep honor and thanksgiving for where we had come from. And so here's a couple of the responses I got back from Pastor Marcia. She said a long and beautiful heartfelt text, but just one sentence out of it. I believe that God is making this change and that it will open no doors for you and that God wants to take us as a church across the nation. And it went on, but it was a beautiful, heartfelt, and really felt that this name change was important for us, because she's someone who has been the whole history of our church. Pastor Bill, I wrote Pastor Bill expressing our deep appreciation for our heritage and actually outlined all the things that I was in particular thankful for. And so he wrote me back and said, it brings back memories of name changes that Madra and I have been through. All for the better. Every best wish and sincerest prayer for the Lord's great blessing upon you. May you indeed show the rest of us the way, he put in capital letters, because via means the way. So in the early church, before Christians were called Christians, they were publicly known as the way. So for a church returning to early foundations, returning to early times, that seemed very suitable for us. So may you indeed show the rest of us the way to a national spiritual awakening. Prayers and blessings, Bill and Madra. Pastor Daniel, any of you seen his response on Facebook? Anybody? Well, I wrote him and he was so thrilled. And he wrote a very strong letter of support for us on Facebook. For those of you that are like me, I'm not modern enough to be on Facebook. But just a few words out of his longer right up there. He just said, my friend and beloved brother Todd has informed me firsthand that at their AGM, the members voted in favor of changing the name of the church. In keeping with the oneness and the unity and the special relationship between our two communities or churches, I am overjoyed to stand at one as one with Via Apostolica Lethbridge as they journey onwards. And then just a beautiful, lengthy text. In fact, he's written me so many times since then, I wouldn't be able to go through them all with you today. Incredibly supportive and warm-hearted in his support. And so I just thought it was really beautiful. I want you to know that. But I also wanted to say that part of what we felt was the purpose of this year is that after many years of change and journey to this point, that what we needed to do this year was to stand in who we are and to be unapologetic about who we are. So the healing conference is coming up. One of the things that we do with people is to help them understand how God sees you. And what does God say over you? And who are you uniquely? And if you could see that, could you stand in it and accept it? And could you even celebrate who you uniquely are? And if that's true of individuals, it's also true of us as an organization, of a local church. That could we see ourselves as God sees us, that our changes have been the product of Him working in our hearts over many years, and that we're standing in who we are unapologetically, and we're even celebrating who He's made us to be. And the truth is, if we can't do that corporately, then as God sends new people into our midst, we'll never be good at doing it individually. Because you cannot celebrate who someone else is if you can't celebrate who you are. And so, just for a moment to be able to say, is a good thing we did, and we have a new name, and represents a lot more than that, our new nature. And so we can celebrate that today. I just want to be able to mark that. And so over the course of this year, we're going to even look for ways to celebrate that and say we're really glad of who we are, and we're not embarrassed about it, and we're not apologetic. We really enjoy who God has made us to be. And this is a year for us to explore what that means to celebrate that. So thanks for giving me a minute. I'll hand you over to, let's welcome as he comes to Pastor Lawrence.
Well, good morning. We talked last week that we were excited. We had good news out of Kenya that Pauline got her visa. So it's been a great week in our house because Pauline's been here. She's just right here at the front. Pauline, you want to stand up just so people can see you? Pauline is here for the month, and you will hear from her next week. We will give her a few moments to share with you as a congregation, but just wanted to let you know that we are planning a Saturday evening, 7 o'clock, appetizers, dessert evening with Pauline, an opportunity for you to hear from her firsthand what's happening at Esther Home with the girls, what other ministries are happening in Kitale. Amongi and Pauline are the directors of Youth Apart in Kenya and in Kitale and lead the ministry there. And so if you want a chance to just hear from her, talk with her about how you might partner together with her, with them in that ministry there Saturday night, we don't have a location yet. We have two options, and we're just finalizing some things, and so that information will come out. You could just register by phoning the office, and they'll get that information out to you. We'd love to have you be part of that this Saturday, 7 o'clock. We'll get out the more details as the week progresses. We should know by Tuesday. If you're visiting and here for the long weekend, a special welcome to you. We, as a church, we are in a series on the Gospel of John entitled The Father. So if you know anything about the Gospel of John, you know it's about Jesus. And so why the title The Father? Well, because Jesus says most strongly in the Gospel of John that he came to show us the Father, that his words are the words of the Father, that he did nothing separate from the Father, that he is one with the Father. And so we are on an extended journey that we've just begun in saying, what does Jesus show us about God the Father? And how might we understand that? So in the first chapter of John, the apostle is giving us his introduction to say, here are some of the big themes that I want to set in your mind as we begin this journey. And the theme today is about light. And so our scripture is verses 5 through 9, and it will be on the screen. And just listen as I read those verses. This is what John says about Jesus the light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about that light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So that's a simple enough theme, an idea, isn't it? Light. We all understand how important light is, whether that's growing your vegetables in the garden or making sure that you don't step on the Lego on as you enter your kids' room, whatever it might be. Light is really easy for us to understand. And so when John talks about Jesus as coming into the world, a place of darkness, from John's perspective, that the coming of this light was announced by John the Baptist, that there was a preparatory time that God was saying, I'm sending you a light, be ready for it. And that Jesus was a true light or a genuine light, a light that you could count on. and that it was a light that would come to all, not just the people that he came to in that particular time and place, but that it was a light that would come to everyone. And so it's a very simple step then to say, okay, so that means Jesus comes to bring clarity to things. So where there's confusion or darkness, where we're not sure how things stand, the light would come to bring clarity and understand it. That there would be safety in the light, whereas the darkness might be a place of danger or unexpected things, but in the light we could be secure and confident. We could be comfortable. So it's something that we could gather other people around and enjoy. Here's a light. This is my renovation work light. I bought it 20 years ago when we bought a 100-year-old house. And it served me well all of those years. I can only remember changing the bulb once. And it's hung on nails and it's been pulled off sawhorses, but it's always done its job. It's very simple. It doesn't even have an on switch. It just, you plug it in and it goes on. Works consistently, very simple, just has one adjustment in terms of angle, sits on the floor, hangs, whatever. It's helped me paint and drywall and plumb and elect, whatever. Been a very faithful thing, and it's relatively simple. You could just set it, if you had in your home a dark spot, like maybe this corner of the stage, with this light, you can change it. The light does its thing, and it shines over there and changes what was sort of an obscure, unreadable sign into something that you could see. So Art Atkinson cornered me after the AGM to say, you know, Lawrence, if you would give me permission for a small budget electrical cord, a light bulb, and a string, I could solve that problem. And he's right. It really solves that problem over there. You can actually see what we have on the wall. So similarly, in our own lives, there has been darkness, hasn't there? So for some of you, you are in darkness even right today. Something has happened. There's the place that you are in your journey right now is a place of darkness. But as you think over the course of your journey, it's very easy to understand those places of darkness. It might be connected to a particular event. It become a marker in your story where you say, when that happened, everything else changed. Everything was different from that moment. I remember it distinctly. I remember where I was. It was a place of darkness, and it's impacted the rest of your story. It might be a relationship that brought darkness. There was a death. Something changed something happened in a relationship, and it brought darkness. It brought loneliness or confusion into that place. Or it might just be a choice that you made on your journey, that at some place along, something happened and you stepped this way instead of that way. And you ended up on this long, windy, confusing, unclear path in a dark place because of that choice that you made. And so the idea that Jesus would bring light into those places seems, well, good, let's do it. But it occurs to me that just as this light is very simple and it works well, what I've noticed particularly about this light, that it's not a question of the light. It's a question of who's holding the light. And that if you get someone who's not watching what they're doing, you could wander, and suddenly you can't see the screen. You can't see what you want to see, and suddenly it's like, oh no, don't look at it. You'll never see again if you look at it. Because the person holding it could drastically change the impact of that light. You could go from seeing perfectly to seeing nothing. Just because the person holding the light is doing that in a fashion that's not helpful. And so John tells us that God the Father is sending light into the world, into the darkness. Specifically into your darkness and my darkness. So, That's not in itself so revolutionary, right? Because in the dark places, in the places that you thought of as I talked about darkness, the thing you're facing right now, you've already tried to bring light into those places. You've tried to deal with confusion by bringing understanding. You've tried to generate bring some light to bear on that relationship or that decision. But that even after that incident, after your father's funeral, you worked through and you tried to bring light to bear on those things. But you realize even months and years down the way that there's some darkness that sort of hung around because of that incident. We hold those things in our heart. That there is some darkness there. And we say, well, it's not as dark as it was the day I heard that he passed. I've got some more understanding, and so I guess I can live with it. It's not as dark as it used to be. I can sort of see my way around it now. It's like letting your eyes adjust after you turn the lights off a bit. And in some ways, in some situations, we might actually make friends with the darkness. The darkness serves a purpose. And we just sort of say, yeah, I just don't go there anymore. I've put that quietly under the stairs and closed the door, and there isn't a light in there anyways. And so I don't talk about that anymore. I gave that up. I'm trying something different now. But when John says that the Father is sending or bringing a light into your world, the first image for me is the policeman who pulls you over on the highway in the middle of the night. And he comes with his flashlight. And he starts looking, wants to know what's behind the front seat. Last week's McDonald's wrappers or whatever. And there's a bit of, my immediate response is in my heart is a bit of fear. What does he want? What's he looking for? What if he finds what he's looking for? So I'm already a bit defensive. Because regardless of where you are in your journey, we have some comfort with where we're at. And we can make the best of the cards we've been dealt is sort of how we talk about it. And we just live with some darkness. Or we might point out the fact that, well, there might be some darkness here, but look at all the darkness over there. Wouldn't it be more helpful, Jesus, if you brought your light over here? Particularly helpful in a family. If you could direct Jesus not to you, but to your spouse. Because if she would get the light, then things would be easier. She's so often in the dark. And so when Jesus comes with his lights and we know it stirs, because the light stirs this sense of, oh, there is some darkness in my life, even though that event or that relationship is long past. It's easier from that to move from that sense of unease to a sense that he is going to use that light to expose me. That's his purpose. He's going to do it slow or fast. Might just be that I'm going to catch you in the dark. Well, what have we here? Or it's going to be about shame and we're going to start hearing words like, you failed in this. How come you've been hiding this? And the light becomes a light of exposure. And it makes us, our immediate response is to, I gotta find a better hiding place for this. How do I get more darkness? I'm not going there. No. Just give me a second. I don't need the light quite yet. Now, of course, when the Father brings the light to us, we will see some things that we have not. We will see them in a different way, or we will see things that we had never seen before. But the Father is never bringing the light to expose, shame, embarrass, or accuse us. That is never the Father. Listen to what John says. He knows a very different Father. He says, my Father is invitational. He says, the kind of Father that's sending the light warns you that he's sending the light. He commissions one man whose whole sole purpose was to say, the Father is going to send the light. Get some ready. Get ready for it. Be prepared. It's not a surprise attack. It's not trying to catch you red-handed. The Father is invitational. John says that John the Baptist's message was that we might believe through what he has to say. So there's many things we could say about believing, but the first step of believing is really accepting an invitation. The Father's not coming like the policeman and saying, I have total access to look wherever I want with my light. The Father is saying, I have some light. I would invite you to step into that light, to receive this light, to believe. It's an invitation. And so if you're in the middle of, if something came up for you this week, and you thought, boy, that's really dark. And a friend, or you read something, or from your own heart an answer came that looked like light, but it produced more hiding, you thought, oh, shoot, I don't want to see that. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to feel that way again. I don't want to remember what it was like when that relationship ended. If it's about avoidance, it's not the Father. The Father never comes to expose. He only comes with invitation. And if what looks like light produces more hiding in you, it's not the Father. It's a false light. John says that Jesus is the true light. A genuine light. A light that you could count on or depend on, even if the things you see don't make sense at first glance. Now we're familiar with this about light, that light can be used in particular ways. That what seems like a true and good light, in fact, does not produce understanding or clarity or comfort. So you go to the keg, and they have a nice little candle on the middle of your table. And you say, oh, perfect. Romantic dinner with my wife, it's going to be perfect. And then you order a medium steak. And you take one bite and it doesn't seem medium, it seems more rare. But now you can't see by that light whether it's rare or well done or somewhere in between. It's not a true light. It doesn't help you know what's really happening. So how can you tell if the light that you've entered into or that you've extended an invitation to or accepted an invitation to is a true light? I think one of the simplest ways to know it's a true light is because a true light will reveal God the Father. A true light will reveal God the Father. If the light that you are entertaining makes the Father less visible, if you are more confused about the Father as a result, it's a false light. If the light speaks about blame, it's not a true light. There was a defining event for me in my mid-20s where my first assignment as a pastor ended. And I tried for 20 years to bring light to that place of my heart. All my anger and frustration and confusion about why did that happen that way. All the hurt that I felt around the people who said those things or did those things. I tried all these different versions of bringing light. But invariably the answer that I brought meant the Father was more and more distant. He was either so far away that his light never came, that somehow he was never there in that situation at that time. Or he was busy with someone else. Somebody else was of higher priority than I was. And so he wasn't interested in me. The Father's further away, not closer. It was a false light. It was a false light that never brought light, comfort, safety to my heart. And so I kept looking for other. In fact, at one point, this is how I described the Father. That the Father was like the guy who runs the spotlight at the arena at the figure skating. Only the Father's a bit of a, I won't say the word I thought. And he does, and he played, he changed the rules of the spotlight. And suddenly my life was in a dark arena, one spot of light, and the Father just shone that light wherever the heck he wanted. And my job was to skate my butt off and try to stay in the middle of the light. It's a false light. It's not true with the Father. You see, the Father's actually less interested in seeing all the things you have hidden away and much more interested that you would see him. Whatever it is that you don't want to bring into the light is actually not that important to him. What he wants is that you would see him clearly, because our Father is a Father who wants to be known. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants you to know who he is. For some of you, he wants you to know even what Father is. Because we live in a world where Father is a very difficult word. And that it's even just important that you would understand what he intended when he said, I am a father. Now, perhaps at this point, some of you are a bit frustrated. And you're saying, well, I've been asking for light for a long, long time, and I'm still in the dark. I've been asking God about this particular question for years and years and years, and I have it's no more settled than it ever was. I bump into it all the time. It's the same question I've been asking for years and years and years. I'm stuck at this spot. I can never get past this spot. But God won't bring me any light. I ask him repeatedly and he won't bring me light. And so it might be easy to say that somehow the Father has decided you're not deserving of light there. That you can't handle the light. That he's somehow exclusive. That he only gives light to Todd and other people. That somehow you aren't worthy of the Father giving you light in that place. More often than not, I want control of the light. I'd accept Jesus, and I could say he's a good light, and I'd like some of that light. I would just like to be able to direct it myself. And I'd like a little more over here, but a little less here. Could we talk about this one, but not about that one? Because I'm not sure I trust the Father's and how he's going to handle the light. And I've seen there's been places in my close relationships where I've been praying that light would come for someone else, but it never comes. John tells us that the Father sent a light that gives light to everyone. And I would add, and everything. There is no situation, circumstance that is too dark for the Father. He has light for all of it. And he is, and so he is extravagant in his light, but he is also very gracious. In that, if we were to receive all the light in one moment, we probably couldn't handle it. And that he actually knows at this point in your journey, what is the light that you need? And although you've been asking this question, why? He wants to first show you this part so that you might be ready to walk into the light to come back to that. But he's gracious with us that way. He knows what light we need today. And so we know that consistently at this point in our church year, as we get ready for the Living Free Conference, that many of you had a very challenging week. And that stuff came up in your life that was dark. That you were confused, you were stuck around that issue, you felt pain around that relationship again and you thought you had settled that. You had anger against God. You had great frustration in your heart. You felt like you couldn't do what you wanted to do. God is bringing that up at this point because he's a gracious and generous Father, and as he's saying, it's his invitation to say, I'd like to bring some light to that in these next weeks. And so that's what I'd like to invite you to. To begin over these next 2 weeks, to start today by asking this question: what is the Father invitation to you right now? Not what's the invitation you want to receive. What's he saying to you right now in this present circumstance? Not what does he say? Not what would you hope he'd say to your spouse? Just what's in front of you, and would you say yes to that invitation, regardless of what it was, regardless of how dark you think it is, how confused you are by it? Would you just say, okay, Father, I hear you. I'm willing to talk about, and then write something in that blank space. Name it. Identify it. I hear your invitation to bring light to my relationship with, to bring light to the time when this happened in school. Whatever it is. Name it. And then plan to come to the conference. Because at the conference, particularly Saturday during the day, Wanda's going to walk you through a process that allows you to, some steps that practical ways that you could walk through a process of bringing light to that particular situation. And so it's been a revolutionary journey for us of just knowing what questions to ask, how to move through and saying to the Father, I would like to bring the light of Jesus to this particular thing. And in that process, over the course of these next weeks, you will receive a new revelation of the Father. The Father will show you something about himself that you have never understood or never seen clearly, and it will bring this enormous relief and peace to your heart. When I received my revelation of who God the Father is relative to that mid-20s situation, I knew instantly that it was a true light. As soon as the thoughts were formed in my mind, I knew it was the right answer. Because it settled something that I had not been able to settle on my own. But between today, naming that darkness, and the next weeks ahead of you, I want you to just do one thing. And that is come to a gracious and generous Father. And I want you to do not be anxious and try to bring your own light to the situation. Just name it and hold it. And spend the rest of your time saying, Father, who are you? Show me yourself in these next 2 weeks. Ask yourself, Father, would you show me how you're looking at me? What's the, what's the, what's the environment in which we're going to have this conversation? You could use your imagination. What does he say to you as he invites you? What is the look on his face? What does he do? Is it a courtroom? Is it a fishing trip? And what is his posture toward you? What's his sense? Is he anxious? Is he at rest? Just see the Father. Give time to looking at the face of the Father. And when you see the Father clearly, when your heart the journey of talking about our hearts and bringing the light is risky. We often say it gets worse before it gets better. That's why we must keep our eyes on the Father. And if we will see him clearly, if you will get a sense of how he's looking at you and what he's saying to you and where this conversation is going to be take place, that when he's ready to bring the light of his revelation to you, you'll be ready. And it will be safe and beautiful. And you will know in that moment that you see the Father, right? And that fear and all the things that we most want to avoid, the darkest places, the things we don't even speak out loud, we'll see the light of the Father. Ryan will come and lead us to the table.